In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The rich young man. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Upon hearing these words of the Lord, of the gospel, our reaction might be, well, I'm not rich. I'm not rich, so that lets me off the hook. It doesn't apply to me. It applies to those people. Those rich people, they're the problem. They're the problem in this world. Those rich people. In high school, there was a kid, he wore this like army jacket, but it was written in black marker on the back of the jacket, Eat the Rich. E-A-T. Eat the Rich. We had a lax dress code in our high school. But he was, I guess there was some resentment there for sure. Some political statement. A similar sentiment has led some to reinterpret Christianity to conclude that God is for the poor and against the rich. God is for the poor and against the rich. That only the poor can truly be Christians. The rich can never really be Christian. It's called liberation theology, which sounds nice. It tries to bring Marxist, communist ideas of class warfare into the mind of God, into theology. And certainly they use this morning's gospel as an example, as a proof text. See, they say God dismisses the young rich man. God is for the poor and against the rich. Of course, in our modern context, most would have to admit that we are not exactly the poor either. Most of us are not exactly the poor either. So where do we fit in? And why do we have to hear this particular passage of the gospel every year? Same gospel in the schedule of readings. Well, the apostles' reaction is worth noting. It is interesting. They didn't say, well, too bad for the rich guy. Their reaction to Christ's words, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Their reaction is they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If this guy can't be saved, who then can be saved? They immediately interpreted the Lord's words to apply not only to the rich man, but to every man. To every man. The apostles, had become poor. They had themselves become poor for the sake of following Christ. They had left everything and followed him. They had become voluntarily poor. They did exactly what the rich young man failed to do, didn't have the heart, the strength to do. They had made the very decision he was unable to make. And yet they still worried, who then can be saved? Because they of all people knew what it meant to give up everything and follow Christ. They had made that sacrifice. They had sacrificed their possessions, their comforts, their familiar life, for treasure in heaven, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And they had to know how hard it would be for most people to follow their example. They were not unsympathetic, even to the plight of the rich young man. For we all have possessions, something we cherish, the things that are our things, the things we cling to in our material world. St. Theophylact, in his commentary, responding to the apostles' response, says, even though it seems that Peter had not forsaken very much, as he was poor, understand that in actuality, he too forsook much. For the fewer possessions we humans have, the greater the attachment. The fewer possessions we humans have, the greater the attachment. Men come to us, don't they? With the clothes on their back, and maybe a knapsack on their back. And that's what they have. That's what they have. Those are their possessions. We are attached to our possessions. And for some of us, it's a small miracle that we do not look at our phones for these 2 hours while we're here. Indeed, is there any other two-hour, a waking hour period during the week like it? Don't have that possession. I can picture it when I'm in the casket with the phone there instead of the cross. Just keep it lit. Keep it. Get a charger anyway. So we return to the motto, it's not what you have, it's what has you. It's not what you have, it's what has you. It's not what you possess, it's what possesses you. Are you defined by your possessions? Are you driven by your possessions with ambition? If a possession controls you or consumes you, it's more than a possession. It's an obsession. It's an obsession. It's a passion. It is, like the rich man, something that potentially could stand between you and God. And of course, most dangerously, be a substitute for God, and therefore an idol. Brothers and sisters, a possession is something that you possess it. It doesn't possess you. You have it, you use it, you let it go. You use it, you put it down, you walk away. If you had to walk away from it forever, you could do it. You could do it. That should be the case with everything that we own. If we had to walk away from it this minute, we could do it. It's not that important. If my soul depended on it, it's certainly not that important. What possesses you prevents you, potentially holds you back, blocks you from spiritual growth, affects the health of your soul. Do you cling to money? Do you cling to money? Then give more. Give more. Does the $20 bill seem huge in church, but insignificant at the convenience store? Then make yourself give more. Yes, the church needs money, but you may need to give money even more than the church needs it. You may need to push yourself to give more because you need it more than even the church does. You need it for your spiritual health. You need it to be free. Empty your pockets, your purses more often. If you only carry plastic to give you an excuse not to give cash, then carry more cash and give it away. Carry more cash and give it away. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Practice giving. Practice letting go. Tell yourself to let it go. You need to learn to let it go. Finally, give, and it will be given to you in good measure, shaken down and brimming over, Christ said. Do not, like the rich young man, go away sad, for he had great possessions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.